Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us here on another episode of Simply Put. This is Britt, and I am so glad that you are here today. And look, if it's your first time joining us, I just want to say a special welcome to you. You do not have to have a Bible of your own. You do not even have to believe in Jesus to belong here. I'm just really glad that you landed on this podcast. And so on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the good part. And more specifically, how our presence makes an impact on which part we get to, be a part in. And so I just really pray that today's episode would give you insight into this hustle and bustle that we're living in and just give you permission to slow down. So without further ado, let's dive in.
Welcome to Simply Put, a podcast that has been brought to life with you in mind. Whether you consider yourself an all-in Christian or have never been introduced to the freedom found in God, this podcast is for you. While the Bible might seem complicated, God's message is rather simple. Every week, you can expect Britt to take God's word and break it down into something we can all better understand. Now here's your host, Britt.
All right, guys. So earlier this week, I was on a phone call with a friend, and I finally disclosed that I've got a lot of feelings about my feelings. Okay, so let me explain. So in this season specifically, I feel like I should be moving slower. You know, we're in the second month of the stay-at-home order. I feel like I shouldn't have as full of a plate as I do. I feel like I should have slowed down by now. I feel like I should have done more or gotten more accomplished or all of these things. And I have feelings like that. And then I got feelings about why I feel like that. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I have like feelings about my feelings. I don't want to feel that way. I feel guilty for feeling that. I don't know what that is for you, but I want to start this episode out today by asking you, do you have feelings about your feelings? And today we're going to look at this story that is so common, I think, amongst anybody that has stepped into a church setting. And we're going to look at the story of Mary and Martha. And so many times this story is depicted as Martha is this person that doesn't slow down, and Mary is this person that sits at Jesus' feet. And I guess at first glance, that's definitely something we can take from it. But, you know, the more time I've spent in this story, the more I've recognized that Martha is me. And so I want us to look at our key verse today, and then we're going to take a look at this story. And the verse I'm actually going to read from is from the King James Version, and I want us to get as close to the original as possible, specifically for two words, okay? So here we go. This is Luke 10, verse 42. It says, "But one thing that is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. This won't be taken from her." Now our story picks up in Luke 10, verse 38, and we're going to walk through this and just kind of talk about, you know, the different parts that Martha plays and that Mary plays. Because I don't think it's realistic for us to say, I just want to be like Mary and sit at Jesus' feet. I wish that was the case. I truly do. But we're also called to go and make disciples. We're also called to get up and go obey. We're also called to take new land. We're called to do things. We're called to specific areas in our lives. And so how is it that in this story, Jesus is giving us two types of people, but one has chosen the good part? And I don't know about you, but I want the good parts. I mean, like, I want the good parts in my life. And so maybe this isn't about being one or the other. Maybe this story isn't about you're either sitting at Jesus' feet or you're doing, and you can't be both. What if this story is introducing us to two parts of our own character? And what if, in this story, Jesus is saying, look, there's a good part to this. All right, here we go. So we're going to pick up in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. All right, we're going to pause there. There's a few things, and I hit on this every single time that the Bible says this, but man, this is such an important thing. Okay, Jesus is on the way to somewhere, and I'm going to keep repeating this and repeating this until we grab a hold of it. Jesus is on the way to somewhere. He has not arrived. This is important for so many reasons in our lives because many of us are waiting for our arrival to feel like God will use us. Many of us are waiting for arrival to feel like the revelation awaits that place, that person, that thing, that time, whatever it is. And here's what I want you to know is whether you are at the beginning of your journey, whether you are at the end of your journey, whether you feel absolutely lost right now or you've never felt more found, wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, here's what I want you to know is God is going to use you along the way. That's right. You do not have to have it all together. You do not have to have your life together. You do not have to be perfect. God will use your mess as a message every single time on the way. And I hit on this every episode because it's so important, friend. God is not disqualifying you from using you just because you haven't so arrived. And to be completely honest, I'm not sure there ever is an arrival while we're here on earth. Like, the only arrival is eternity. And so if we really take this into context, we're all on the road for the rest of our lives. And so don't miss what God might be doing through you simply because you're not in the position that you thought you would be. Anyways, I digress, but I have to hit on that every single time. And so Martha welcomes him into her home. This is the first time we're really, told about Martha in this story. So Martha welcomes him into her home. What does this mean? Here's what this means. Number one, theologians believe that Martha would have been some type of church leader. Now, I know you're thinking like, Brittany, back then, women didn't lead churches. Yeah, I get that. But home churches were a real thing. And this was pre-COVID. You know what I mean? Home churches were how people gathered. And so if this was Martha's home and she welcomed Jesus into her home, it's assumed, again, we don't know, but it's assumed that she would be some type of church leader because she did have a home where people could gather and she welcomed people into her home. Okay, now I want to rephrase this, okay? Same context, but let's think about it in this way. Martha is the one that opens the door, okay? So Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. Martha opens the door for Jesus to come in. The next verse, it says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. All right, let's pause here. Okay, so we're going to say this a few times. So Martha opens the door and then Jesus meets Mary. One more time. Martha is the one that opened the door, but Jesus meets Mary. Now, with that context in mind, here's what I want to ask you. Is there anybody in your life right now that you are opening the door for Jesus to have an encounter with? I don't have an answer for that. But I hope the answer is yes. Is there anybody that you're just holding the space for? Or maybe you're on the other side of that and you are Mary and somebody is holding the space for you. Either way, it doesn't matter. Here's what we need to know about this is Martha is the one that invites Jesus in and Jesus has an encounter with someone else. Can we have like a candid moment? I really struggle with this. I mean, like I live in this paradox all the time because there's one side of me that is so honored and feel so excited when I have the opportunity to open the door and Jesus meets someone else simply because of my obedience. Like there is nothing sweeter than that. And then there's this flip side of I personally really wrestle with this idea that I believe God will do big things through me, but I don't know if he'll do big things for me. Maybe you don't relate. I don't know. But this is something that I really struggle with because so often I can miss the very thing God is trying to teach me simply because I assume he's trying to teach it to someone else. And so I believe God will do big things through me, but I constantly have to remind myself that he will also do great things for me. Pick up in verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.
I don't know why she has that accent, but we're going to go with it.
But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details.
Now, I don't want to get to the last verse yet because I want to stop here. I want to stop with what happens between Martha and Jesus in this moment. Now, remember, it's Martha that welcomed Jesus into her home. It's Martha that opened the door for Jesus to encounter Mary. It's Martha that's serving the guest in her house. It's Martha that's serving Jesus. But you know what else Martha is doing? Martha is also bringing her disappointed expectations and her concerns to Jesus. I mean, if it were me, I would huff and puff in the kitchen before I called a guest out of like, don't you think it's unfair that they're not help? I mean, this is a pretty abrupt statement for somebody to make, regardless if you know the guest or not. This is just a pretty aggressive statement. And immediately she takes it to Jesus. Again, scripture says she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. And honestly, what Martha's really saying in this statement, she expected Mary to respond differently. And now she's looking at Jesus and she's saying, why don't you care what she does? Why aren't you telling her to help? Why isn't she living this out in a different way? And you know, in this season and in every season, it's so easy for bitterness to grow when expectations aren't met. And I think if we're really honest, this is where bitterness and anger towards God can take root if we're not really, really careful about the things we're expecting from people. I mean, you expected them to care. You expected them to call. You expected them to remember. You expected them to show up, and they didn't. And so now you're sitting in this space and you're looking at God and you're saying, but don't you care? Don't you care about what's happening? Don't you see that I'm working? Don't you see that I'm trying? Don't you see me? And God is saying, I see you. And what I see in you is that your service and your works and your preparation and your good intentions are distracting you from the good part. Because you're so disappointed that people don't make a good God. You're so disappointed in the people around you, and you've put all your pressure on them and all of these expectations that you need them to live up to in order for you to feel satisfied. And what Jesus is saying in this moment is, I see you and I hear you, and I want you to know that your good intentions are causing you to miss the good part. And I love what Paul says about this. So this is in 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, Christ is like a single body which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. And I think we can look at that verse in a lot of ways. But one way I love to look at it is it helps me not get frustrated with others when I don't understand the purpose God has placed on their life. Let me go a little bit deeper with this idea, because have you ever been frustrated that somebody doesn't care about the things you care about? Have you ever been like, really disappointed in someone because they don't have the same passion as you? So to take this even a step further, my heart is for inclusiveness. I will do anything, anywhere, anytime to make someone feel welcomed into an environment. I will go out of my way. I will put myself in very uncomfortable circumstances to make someone feel like they belong. This is my heartbeat. This is not everyone's heartbeat.
some people have been appointed and anointed to take care of those within the church. You know, some people have been anointed to care for those in human trafficking. Some people have been anointed to care for those coming from immigration. I mean, some people are anointed for certain passions. And if I'm not careful, I can have bitterness and anger roots so deep, not because of anything they've done, but simply because they don't respond in the way that I expect them to. And I'm so thankful, the more I wrestle with this and the more I understand this, that God has given us different passions and different parts, and we all make up one larger body. And here's why. It's because could you imagine if we all only cared about the same thing? Like, let's say all of God's children only cared for the homeless. You know, what about the orphans and the widows and the people that are just in our everyday lives and the people that are, like, what if we all only cared about the same thing? We would have a super vibrant area of healing in one part, but then everything else would never be touched. I mean, we are his ambassadors here, and so we are doing his work. And so if God cares about all things, then that means all of his people have different things that they steward and that they're appointed and that they're anointed to care for. Not because God doesn't care about anything, it's because he cares about everything. And so here's what I'm trying to say is we have to live in full awareness that our service, our working, our preparation, and our good intentions truly can distract us from the good parts. That's why over and over again in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded, run the race set before you. Stay focused. Like, don't give in to the ways of the world. Don't give in to the things that are happening around you. Keep your eyes set on God and trust that where he's leading you is good. But now before we get to that last verse, I want to ask you, because I think we can take this as well from this interaction between Martha and Jesus. Have you ever felt like what Jesus was asking you to do was super inconvenient? I mean, okay, let's put this in real world terms and then we'll go back to this idea of Jesus. Have you ever like had a really busy day where you truly don't have 5 minutes in your schedule and someone's like, hey, can we sit down and talk? And you're like, actually, no, we can't. Like, why don't you call me while I'm driving from this place to this place? Because I don't really have time for this right now. This is what's happening in scripture. I mean, that's like, if I had to put this in a real world term, that's exactly what's happening. Jesus is spending time with Mary. Martha is doing all the things, you know, probably got a checklist of like, all right, we're going to get this done and we're going to get this done. I'm going to prepare this and I take this out of the oven at this time. I don't know if they had ovens back then, but you know what I'm saying. So she had this plan and Jesus is like, Martha, that ain't the good part. Mary has chosen the good part. Come sit. Oh, if I was Martha, I would be so frustrated. I would be like, sit, Jesus. You want me to sit? Don't you see? I would have responded the same way Martha did. I'm told you guys, Martha is me. But how true is that for us? And here's where I'm going with this is, are we so busy that when God asks us to be still, to pause, to take five, to calm down, we get frustrated and flustered because that wasn't our plan? And I love what Jesus says to Martha in this moment. He says, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over many things. And you know what I get from this is I wonder if Jesus knew in Martha that what you're saying and what you're actually experiencing are two different things. See, you're looking at Mary and you're saying, well, I expected her to help. I expected this to go differently. And what you really mean by that is you're looking at me and saying, Jesus, I didn't expect you to slow me down like this. Jesus, I didn't expect you to ask me to sit still. Jesus, I didn't expect you to come in and do this. And this fact that Martha is upset over many things really got me thinking and really got me wondering, do the things that I respond to and the things that I get frustrated over, are those things actually what I'm frustrated over, or is there a deeper root to this? And the best example I have of this is something I learned early on, I guess throughout all of this COVID-19 stuff, is I shell case everything with this idea of anxiety. So I'll be like, well, I have really bad anxiety today. I have really bad anxiety today. And I took this to my quiet time and I started asking God, you know, what is it that triggers this? And the more time I spent with it, the more time I realized I wasn't anxious, I was sad. But because I had put a shell around it and called it anxiety, I wasn't able to actually feel what was really going on. And I have a feeling that this translates for a lot of us as we go towards what we know. And so we call emotions certain things that we're comfortable with. I'm comfortable with depicting that I have a lot of anxiety today. But to be sad, to give myself permission to be sad about something, that's a totally different beast, you know? That's a totally different problem. And so, while I might come off as frustrated with the circumstance, I wonder if what Jesus knew and what I think he's reminding us about is sometimes what you think you're upset over and what's actually going on are two very, very different things. You're not upset over one thing. You're upset over many things. And, you know, the interesting part about this is what you don't repair, you'll repeat. And so if we don't take time to dig into that many parts, if we don't take time to slow down and say, okay, what's really bothering me? It will carry with us year after year, circumstance after circumstance, and even more sadly, sometimes generation after generation. What we don't repair, we will repeat. And so, friend, I just want to ask you today, what is it in your circumstance that needs repairing? What's the root of why you're feeling the way you're feeling, why you're responding the way you're responding, why you're disappointed in the ways that you're disappointed? I have to guess from experience that it's probably not about a person. It's about God. You're not mad at the person. You're disappointed in God. You thought he was going to respond in a different way. You thought he was going to do something. You thought he was going to. And so you're not disappointed in what the other person didn't do. You're disappointed in what God chose to do. I don't know who that was for, but that was for somebody. And so I just want to encourage you to go back to that root. Go back to that hurt. Go back to that place where you first remember feeling like this and ask God to heal it. I'll say it one more time. What you don't repair, you will repeat. So find the courage, find the humility to bring that to his feet and ask God to do a work in it. So this last verse, this verse that, you know, really is our key verse today. There is only one thing worth worrying about. Mary has discovered the good part. It will not be taken from her. Friend, can I just submit for consideration that there are parts to our walk with Christ? There are good parts and there are bad parts. And I know that that's not like a Christian thing to say. It doesn't sound very good. But there are mountaintops and there are valleys. And there are really hard things about walking with the Lord. And there are really sweet things about walking with the Lord. It is always a paradox. And I'm not convinced that in this statement, Jesus is telling Martha to stop doing what she's doing. I'm not convinced that Martha's in the wrong in this story. Maybe we paint her that way, but I'm just not convinced that she's in the wrong. I actually think we resonate more with Martha than we think we do. But there's a good part that I believe Jesus is trying to draw us into. There's a good part that Jesus is saying, hey, Martha, there's parts to this. Mary's got the good part. So what is the good part? What is Jesus referring to? If I had to guess, here's what I think he's referring to. I think he's referring to the good part as to listening over speaking. In this story, Mary is found at Jesus' feet, but it says specifically that she was listening to everything he said. How many of us today need to do this? How many of us have come into our quiet times, come into our prayer, maybe come into conversation, and we've talked so much that we've never stopped to consider what the other person is saying, that we've never stopped to consider what Jesus is saying? And so today, to that person, I just want to encourage you, slow down. Bring everything to his feet and don't talk. Sit there in silence. Listen to what he might have to say. He might not speak. That's okay too. But he might, and that's okay too. Another good part that I think we can have access to is allowing God to vindicate for us. I don't know if you noticed in that story, but Mary never not once defends herself. If it were me and somebody was accusing me of being lazy, I mean, I don't know how big this house was that Martha had, but I have to be honest, I might try to defend myself. I might try to say, yeah, but he's only here for a certain amount of time and you're always working. I would have very quickly tried to manipulate the circumstance to defend myself. What Mary does here is Jesus vindicates for her. Mary doesn't say a word. Jesus is the one that speaks on her behalf. And I know this is like a weird thing. This is a super weird concept. Even, and you guys know, like, I love the Bible. I love God. And this is still one of the hardest things for me to grasp, is that God will vindicate on my behalf. I don't have to go in and defend myself to everything and everyone. If I simply trust that God will move, God will move. And I've seen it over and over and over again take place in my life, but it is so hard because our natural instinct is to defend ourselves. Why we said what we said, why we didn't mean what we meant, why that didn't happen or this didn't happen. And I just want to encourage you to press against that desire, to really bring that desire to God's feet and embrace this good part. It's not fun in the moment. Like, I'll just be honest with you. It is not fun in the moment. But you know what is fun? It's really fun seeing God move. And rarely do we regret the things that we didn't say. Sometimes, but not usually. And so I just want to encourage you today that if you're in a circumstance where you feel like you have to defend yourself, where you feel like you have to, I don't know what that is for you, but maybe somebody is gossiping about you. This is real. And you're like frustrated because that's not the full story. And you just, if you could just tell your side of the story, you know that things would be different, but God isn't opening up that window. And friend, I want to speak directly to that person because I know your pain and I understand your frustration. And here's what I want you to know is God sees you, God hears you, and God will go before you. And it could be that the very thing that you feel like is destroying you is the very thing that God is using to appoint you for a time such as this. And so I feel this so strong in my spirit. There's somebody right now that is really in the midst of this and you're trapped in a gossip triangle. And you're really frustrated and you're just praying. You're like, God, why won't they hear my side of the story? This isn't how this was supposed to go. And friend, you're right. I don't know what to tell you. But here's what I do know is if you let God go before you, he will go before you. But if you charge ahead, you will say things that you did not mean. And so I just want to encourage, this is specifically for somebody. I just want to encourage you today to pause and to let God fight on your behalf because he will. And the last thing, the good part that we can take a hold of is choosing stillness over service. And this doesn't mean all the time. But it's really important as we go about life that we build in time to be still in front of the Lord. I have a bonus episode called Cultivating Quiet Time. And I can't tell you how much this has radically transformed my life. And at first it was hard. And at first it took a lot of discipline and a lot of focus. But, you know, 2.5 years later, my time with the Lord every morning, I spend about 2 hours studying his word and just spending time with him. And it is the sweetest time of my day. And so what is a good part that we can take advantage of? We can choose stillness over service. Here's what I know. It's what the enemy can't steal, kill, or destroy. He will distract. So I want to ask you as we head out today, what do you need to stop doing? What people do you have rooted bitterness towards because they didn't do what you expected? Can you forgive them? Can you take those actual disappointments to the feet of Jesus and find the many things that you're upset about? Friend, here's what I know by this story is there's a good part. And I don't want us to miss the good part. I don't want us to miss sitting in the presence of God simply because we were too busy. I don't want us to miss the revelation that awaits when we get to the root of our hurt and our bitterness simply because we're putting our false expectations on someone else. I don't want us to miss this stuff. So, what is it for you? Where do you find yourself in this story? Because I got to be honest, Martha is me. And if I had to guess, Martha is probably you too. So today and every day this week and maybe going forward, what are those ways that you can build Mary into your life? That you can build stillness into your circumstances? And I'll say it one more time before we head out for the day. We have to live in full awareness that our service, our working, our preparation, and our good intentions can distract us from the good parts. Don't miss out on all God has for you simply because you're only focused on what you have to do.